miles into the Peace Corps.
Yeah.
John McConus told me on two or three occasions, and Dulles, of course, did, that they never would do that.
Right, right.
They've sent out messages and the rest of it.
Right.
But we've got a group in training now that looks suspicious. And I'd like to follow whatever you recommend, but I sure in hell want those.
Oh, you call Dick Helms?
Dick Helms?
Yeah, he's the operation officer over there under, and just say to him, talk to me, and I don't want anybody in there.
Okay.
And if they are there, let's get them out now before we have it. And if there's any problem about it, then Dick Helms ought to call the president about it. But this is very, we're very, very anxious that there be no, we don't want to discredit this whole idea.
Okay, fine.
And they, guys, they're not going to find out that much intelligence.
That's right.
Now, the other thing is, I noticed with these people coming back, can we do anything about seeing if we can get some of them to go in the Foreign Service?
Yes, the Foreign Service has already changed their examination schedules and the kind of exams they give. And the places that they're going to be given, and done everything that they think they can this year to facilitate Peace Corps guys getting into the Foreign Service. And USIA has done the same thing, and AID is trying to do something. I think we'll have to find out by one trial run to see whether it's successful.
Okay, well, I just wanted to be let me know if there's anything we can do, because these are the guys I'd like to get in the Foreign Service.
Okay, fine.
Okay,
thanks.
Fine, sir.
Wedding.
Bob McNamara.
Morning. How are you, Bob?
Fine, sir.
Did you talk to Gene Zuckett?
I talked to him last night.
Oh, fine. Well, I had Pierre call Sylvester because I was concerned about the stories. What's your judgment about what we ought to do now? Because it may come up in my press conference this afternoon.
I think it ought to be said that the committee pressed us to determine the source of the leak, and the Air Force was seeking to answer the committee's interest in it.
Right.
And drop it at that if you can. Now, they say, well, is it customary to request people to take polygraph tests? I think that the answer to that is that no such request has been made here. No such request has been made. The specific request, as I understand it, made by the Air Force Inspector General of the individuals he talked to was, would you voluntarily take such a test if it was indicated that
is that part of the routine?
I'm checking on that, and I am told that it is.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I've had underway for about 3 or 4 weeks here an investigation of polygraphs. Bob Lovett in 1952 investigated this, and it hasn't been looked into since that time. And just as a normal routine here, about 4 weeks ago, I had our general counsel's office start, and I have a partial report of their work to date, and it has been quite customary, not only here but elsewhere in the government, to both apply the test, but more particularly to ask the individual if they would be willing to volunteer for the test.
I tell you what, I wonder if Sylvester, or who would you suggest we could get some details? Pierre thought that the Air Force ought to put out some statement this morning so the story would be ended so that I wouldn't have to be the one to end it.
I think that's wise. I'll work with Sylvester. We'll get
perhaps Sylvester and Pierre could talk.
I'll do that, and I'll get a copy of it over
The other thing was whether you think that this was an effort by the Air Force to embarrass everybody, that's why they put this, pushed it this hard, because after all,
I don't think so much.
You think the buttons were pressed and they conducted what they consider the routine?
Right. I think also that there have been so many claims and counterclaims by the committee and others on this question. They honestly wanted to get at the bottom of it, and they went about it with an excessive zeal. If they apply that much zeal to some of the others, they would sell them damn fast.
I mean, the Air Force did excessive zeal.
This chap, you don't know the Inspector General, but I happened to serve with him during the war. He's a wonderful individual, but he's a combat pilot. He's a three-star general now.
So
he looks like a thug.
He
just went about it that way.
Okay, well, perhaps Pierre and Sylvester work out something.
I'll see that it's handled before your press conference. You have a note of what we've done.
Okay, good. Thanks a lot, Bob.
Thank you.
Lou?
How are you, sir?
Good. How you doing?
Well, just fine. I talked with those people up in Canada yesterday, and I also got a report from Ollie Quayle up there. He, and on this Bomart thing, apparently it isn't coming through very much at all, the things he may be saying. And it's their strong feeling that there's nothing said about it, that it would allow them to push their theme of the last week, which is give Canada a strong government, a majority government. Otherwise, you're going to have a weak, divided minority government.
Fine, good. Well, we won't. I'll be at the press conference. I'm just going to say nothing about it.
But their strong feeling was, if you said much about it, that they'd obscure the issues in the last week. They're very confident. I must say, I don't know if they're just suffering from, you know, the last minute optimism, but they think they'll get 145.
Do they? What does Quayle think?
Somewhere between 126 and 133, something like that.
That's not a majority, is it?
133 is. It's going to be just right on the razor edge, I'd say. They'll probably be sweating out the Yukon district, you know?
What about, they don't think it will be Diefenbaker?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. No, he is not caught fire at all. The, the social credit fellows, as Nixon would say, have peaked too early.
Yeah.
And they're going down, and I'd say they've got a real chance now to pull it off. It's Quebec province where this fellow, the premier, is finally out working for him. He might be able to pull it off, you see.
How are you doing?
Well, pretty good. This is totally between us because it won't be announced for 3 weeks, but I was with a mutual friend of ours, Phil Graham, yesterday, and we came to agreement on the thing in Newsweek in a column.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
For Newsweek or for...
Yeah, I'll do the thing in Newsweek once a month and...
Newspapers?
Newspapers once a week.
That's damn good, isn't it?
That'll begin in June, and it's a good deal because I'll be able to do a poll a month then, and we'll really have a lot of stuff. At least keep Gallup on us and make a lot of news.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing for both those reasons. But
I'll be able to talk with you a good deal. I cleared this with Phil, and he said, and I know it's our CBS people, you know, we can talk about all this and well before it ever comes out. We've got to keep it very, you know, quiet so that no other press people pick it up.
Now, this is a better deal than your other one, it seems to me. But, I mean, this will then combine with your commercial stuff at CBS. This will give you a pretty good deal on it.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. It'll about make up for all the private stuff. And, frankly, you see, you know, I could have gotten involved with some people in Chicago. We're talking about a primary against Daley. In California, they wanted me to get in against Unruh. And frankly, I saw no future to that. I don't know if you do, but I don't. Do you?
No, I think that was clear.
I mean, if I wanted to, you know, hold or run for office, it'd be one thing. But I just think in the end, I'd end up from ash can in an alley, you know.
You haven't got any polls lately, have you?
No, sir, but we will have. Quayle is doing something in... Kentucky, and I will have something on Cuba in there in about next week.
How does it look like? Happy?
Well, I did not. It's pretty close. According to, we got hold of one of his polls, and he's only ahead 53-47, and Breathitt, his opponent, is unknown, you know. So I think it might be pretty close.
Well, what does Quayle think about his poll? Who are you two polling for? The other fella?
For Breathitt, yeah. That's Combs. We've been in there. Combs had always been our client, and Tiller of Clements shifted, and he wanted... I know he talked about that last fall, and I said, well, I just couldn't do that.
What is Breathitt?
He's a young fellow, about 37.
You say he's 53-47?
He's behind 53-47.
That's all?
Yeah. That's
is that all. According to Chandler's poll or yours?
Chandler's, yeah.
Yeah. What about yours? You haven't taken one yet?
Yeah, I'll have the results on that next week.
Oh, yeah. Give me a call.
I sure will.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Thanks, Mr.
President. Thank you.
Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
Back in town last night, I spoke to him. He's got the message. He's going to work that thing out.
He's going to do it?
Yeah.
Or is he just going to work it out?
Well, he's going to work it out. Well, apparently there's some little thing. You know, it isn't just signing a paper. He just feels that he wants to do it correctly. But he's got the message. And it will be done.
Yeah, would you have him let you know when he does it?
Right.
Okay.
Number two, Tim, as you may know, has applied for Harvard. I've been in touch up there with some people. I get the word that it's about, it's just about 50-50.
Yeah.
And I didn't know whether or not you'd be willing to, say, have Holborn. I could get...
Not Holborn. Why don't you talk to Mac George Bundy?
And have him call somebody up there?
Yeah, I mean, I'd start with him. Holborn won't do any good, but just...
Well, would you be willing to have Bundy tell somebody up there that you know Tim and that you'd...
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. If you want a letter or anything, I'd be delighted. Seems to me that if you speak to Bundy, then I'll talk to Bundy.
Okay.
Find out what we ought to do about it.
That's terrific.
Tell Bundy to speak to me about it.
Thanks very much.
Bye.